Thank you for all who took part this morning. I know Judy did worship. I appreciate that. Colleen, for the children's story, for the guys working behind the scenes. I know there were some issues this morning trying to get the screen down even and turn the system on. So everything's a little bit kind of late, but they did a good job. We appreciate all you do behind the scenes, guys. We do serve a God who's worthy, don't we? Isn't it awesome? We are here this morning because of you, Jesus. We are here because we love you. This is not our church. It's your church, and we've come to learn from you. We've come to bring you honor, and we've come to bring you glory. We just want to sit in your presence now, Father, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of us on an individual basis this morning, is what we ask in your name. Amen. It's hard to believe that Christmas has come and gone already, isn't it? And I had to think about what we've been preaching the last maybe three or four Sundays. We celebrate a time that we call Advent. And I probably don't have this in the right order, but hope, peace, joy, and love were the themes that we celebrated during Advent. And Advent is a time where we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We prepare ourselves to celebrate God coming to earth as a man, as a baby, in the form of Jesus Christ, because of his great love for us. And so I believe it's a time when we focus on Jesus and not on worldly things. And I think that's gotten increasingly hard over the years. I think of what Christmas was like when I was a kid compared to what Christmas is like now. It's kind of hard for our kids maybe to be focusing on Jesus when, and I'm just as guilty as grandparents, you know, we shower them with presents. But we can't get caught up in worldly things. It's a time where we need to be focusing on Jesus Christ. This week is a time maybe when we're focusing on a new year that's about to come. I heard a couple of people this morning mentioned 2020 already. And I know I said as we were together, I thought, boy, I didn't think about it, but we're done with the teen years. We're going to 2020 now, and it's hard to believe in Wednesday we're going to start a new year. And it's kind of, well, traditional, I think, that you eat pork and sauerkraut in Lancaster County. I don't know if you did that in Maine or New Jersey, but I think that's a Lancaster County thing. Maybe you still don't do that here. The other thing that we think of at New Year's, sometimes we talk about New Year's resolutions. And that's something that we purpose in our lives that maybe we want to change. Maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to go out and visit people more this year. Maybe you want to get rid of a bad habit, something in your life that should go. Maybe you want to get more focused on your devotions. There's all kinds of different things that we focus on. Maybe you want to eat healthier, exercise more. One of the things I want to do is I run one race a year. It's a charity race, and this last year I was that busy I hadn't run much at all before, and it doesn't work too well to just go out and run a 5K. And so one of my New Year's resolutions would be maybe to start a little earlier this year and try to get on the treadmill a little bit more. But this New Year's, I think as we approach it, one of the things we should be focusing more is what we did during Advent, and that's to focus on Jesus Christ. And I had to think about what the coming year may hold. We don't know. I mean, God knows that already, but there's things that are going to change. Some of you may have a new job this year. Some of you probably will have new neighbors. Hopefully there'll be some new people at New Beginnings this coming year. Maybe there'll be new friends that you make, and there'll probably be a death or a birth in your extended family this coming year. We don't know what the year holds, but as we go into the year and as we get closer to the beginning of a new year, I think it's a time to focus on Jesus Christ. And I put a little PowerPoint together. I'm not very good at PowerPoints. You'll figure that out pretty quick, but visual aids are better. I want you to understand how much God loves you as we go into this new year. I think that's key, and we do that at Christmas. But go ahead, Dan, just put some of these up. This is This is not a very good rendering of heaven, but someone drew this picture. I think it's pretty beautiful, but I think heaven's going to be much better than that. But God left a place like that to come to a place like this because he loved you so much. God was willing to give up, next slide, a small tiny house like that, and he'd be willing to live in a house like the next slide, like this, because he loves you so much. Are you getting a picture of how much he loves you? Go to the next one. In case you can't see, God was willing to give up treasure beyond what we can imagine. These are $100 bills. Can you imagine how much money must be there? He was willing to give all that for the next slide because he loves you so much. In other words, you're more important than riches. And I think the last two, let's go look. Oh, no, there's four more yet. He was willing to give up meals like this every meal for the next thing because of his great love for you. He'd be willing to do that. And the last one, he'd be willing to give up a healthy body who could probably do, this is, I forget his name, very good runner, sprinter. He'd be willing to give up a body like that for the next slide, for a body like this, because of his great love for you. Do you get a picture of how much God loves each of us? Sometimes I don't think we realize what God gave up when he left heaven to come to earth as a human being. But he did that because he loves you. And he would have done that just for one person. That's what's awesome and amazing to him. But we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I know we're going to be preaching on this, but this is where God led me. And I'm only stealing four verses from you, Glenn. You can expound on those four if you want to. But as Skylar reads this, listen to it and remember how much God loves you and how much in return we should be loving him.
Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
For those of you who may not know what I do for a living, I work at a small hardware store. And once a year, they actually have a couple shows a year, but because we're small, once a year we go to a show, a hardware show, where we buy a good portion of the hardware we sell in the next year. And that, we do that in February because it's slow in February, and also it's in Florida, so Florida's a nice place to be in February. Although when you go there, it's not a vacation, let me tell you that. But the company we buy from is called Orgel Brothers. You've probably never heard of that, but just to give you a picture, they're bigger than True Value. They do more business than True Value. But I can get into the show because we have a relationship with that company. I mean, you have to get a badge, and they have security looking as you go into the floor to make sure you have a badge on to get in. And because I have that relationship, I have the benefit I can buy things at that show. And you get some good deals sometimes, but if you would come down there, say if Mike would come along with me, he doesn't have that relationship with Orgel that I do. He can't buy anything. He could look at all the good stuff, but he can't have any of it. I want you to tie that to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship. We need to be connected with Jesus Christ. That's what these verses are about that we're looking at. We need to be connected to Jesus Christ. If we're not connected, if we don't have that relationship, we don't get all those good things that Jesus has for us. And so as we go into this new year, I think it's good for us to just reevaluate our lives and where are we at with Jesus? Can we go on a deeper level? Can we get closer to him? We need to stay connected to him. And as I looked at these four verses, I saw three ways that we're connected to Jesus. Three ways. And so we're going to look at those this morning. The first one is, in verse 1, it says that, since then you have been raised with Christ. We have been raised with Jesus Christ. We're connected to him. We're raised together from a mortal death to a new and blessed life dedicated to God. And as I looked at the Greek word that's translated raised, it's really interesting because it's only used three times in the New Testament. But it literally means raised together. So we're almost like a Siamese twin with Jesus. And it's used in Ephesians, and it's also used in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 12. And I think we're going to read that real quick. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him, that same Greek word, connected with him, raised together with him, through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And I like to look at that verse because I think the connection we have with Jesus is kind of what we kind of show that it's symbolized in the baptism that we do. And I think the symbolism, as brethren, we immerse under the water. Now, if you were sprinkled, we're not going to have a theological discussion in baptism. But I like the immersion part. Because what happens when you're baptizing, what you're symbolizing is what happened when you asked Jesus into your heart. You're being buried. Your old self is being buried. Your sins are being buried with Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, you're being raised with him into a new life, a sin-free life. That sin is all gone. And it's kind of a neat thing that happens, but it's something that we do with Jesus. And when we come up out of that water, we are living a life with Jesus Christ, and we're living to please our Heavenly Father. And so it's going to change. It symbolizes a change in our life and how we're going to be more connected to Jesus where we weren't before. So that was the first thing I saw here as far as being connected with Jesus. The second thing, we have to skip to verse 3. For you now died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. And I had to think about this. There's different theological views on what this means. And if I look at the Greek means pretty much to hide something. So we're hidden. But I guess the picture that I think God gave me to help me understand this is a mother hen. Do you ever see a mother hen take her chicks under the wings? They're kind of hidden. And there's a form of protection there. And I think what Paul is trying to say is that when we stay connected with Jesus, we come under his protection, but it means we're secure and safe from Satan. As long as we stay connected with Jesus, we're assured of an eternal salvation with our Heavenly Father, and there's nothing that Satan can do to change that. He has no power to change that relationship we have with Jesus because we're connected. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't tempt us, or I always think of Jesus' temptation in the desert. What's it say at the end of all that? It says the devil left him till a more opportune time, I think is what Scripture says. And so Satan is always looking for ways that he can pry us apart from Jesus. And we need to be aware that things like that are going to happen in our life. But we need to focus on staying connected to him and being assured of our salvation and eternity with God in heaven. Being connected means we're going to follow Jesus. It means we're going to listen to him. It means we're going to walk with him in our life. And so to be hidden and protected by him, we need to do those things. And so again, the beginning of the year, reevaluate our lives. And what can we do to strengthen that connection we have with our Heavenly Father? The third thing is in verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I think we're going to look at a scripture in Thessalonians. If you have that, you can get ready to read it. Someone in the back row, I forgot to hand scriptures out, so everybody, if you sit in the back row, that's what happens, you know, when you have to read a scripture. But I think this explains it well as the way we're connected with Jesus when he comes again.
We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever.
Yeah, the neat thing when Jesus comes again, everybody's going to recognize him for who he is, the Messiah. We need to be connected to him. He's our source of life. And it's interesting, as Paul goes through these four short verses, we're connected from Jesus from day one, aren't we? From the time we're baptized, and he goes the whole way to the resurrection. And I think that our conduit to Jesus, our connection, is through the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus isn't physically here now, but the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit will point us to Jesus. But that's how we maintain that connection. But evaluate your connection. Where are you at? Do we need to strengthen that? Is there something you need to change in your life as we come into a new year? And I think the other thing that goes with these four verses is found in verse 1 and 2, when it talks about we should set our minds and things above. I think this is one of the ways we can help us keep connected to Jesus. Set your mind on things above. I think verse 1 says set your hearts on things above, and verse 2 says set your minds on things above in the NIV. So we need to focus on heavenly things. We need to focus on where Jesus is at right now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So Paul is reminding us that we need to be thinking about those things and focusing on them. Because Christ is dwelling in heaven with our heavenly Father, our lives need to reflect the things of God. Excuse me. Too much singing. I think I'm losing my voice. We need to reflect on his great love for us. I think you got a picture of that this morning. We need to reflect on the peace he gives us, the joy we have. The fruits of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. I'll try this. I think, where's Laura at? She always helps me get them right when I miss one. She's not here, so I'm in trouble. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. I always miss one. Faithfulness. Those are the things that we should be focusing on. Those are the things that should be evident in our life. Those are the things that people should be seeing in our lives as we interact with them. So as you ponder, if you do pondering, and if you don't, maybe ponder a New Year's resolution this year, and think about how you can become better connected with Jesus. How can we be living our lives more like him? How can we be reflecting him through us in the way we live our lives? But we need to stay connected to Jesus Christ. As I was studying this, I came across a man by the name of Richard Baxter. Has anyone ever heard of him? Richard Baxter. If you studied theology, you may have read a book by him, but I had never heard of him before. But he was a well-known pastor in England in the 1600s. He was born early 1600 and died 1691. He was 76 years old. From the age of 21, anybody here 21? Who's the closest to 21? Are you 21? You're 19? I would have thought you were at least 20. From the age of 21, he was pretty much sickly, had a lot of issues. He spent his life battling one illness after another, and at one point he said that he seldom had an hour free from pain. And that just really made me think, this is a man of God, a preacher, well known. At the age of 35, he was in one of his infirmities. Some of the things he dealt with, a constant cough, he had frequent nosebleeds, he had migraine headaches, migraine seizures, he had kidney stones, gallstones, you name it, I think he had it. But at the 35, he was confined to bed, and he was certain he was going to die. And so, in preparation of his death, his mind went to things above. He started thinking about what heaven's going to be like. He started thinking about spending an eternity with Jesus. And he meditated on things of heaven, the joys of heaven, and the time to come, the future of his life. And surprisingly, if he lived to be 76, you know, he didn't die. He recovered. And he had compiled notes during his illness. And so he decided to write a book about heaven. And he wrote a book called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. And it's just a book about what he thought of heaven, what it's going to be like, and how he thought about it and meditated on it. Richard Baxter was not caught up in his life on earth. Through all his infirmities, his sicknesses, all the pain he had, he was focused on heaven. And he was focused, I believe, in Jesus Christ. And he was focused on his future home where he was going to live for eternity. Paul in Colossians is reminding us, I believe, to do the same thing. To be focused on Jesus Christ. To be focused on what lies ahead. I think he says it best in Philippians 1, 21 to 26. Deb must have that one.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Jesus Christ will be abound on account of me.
As we approach the new year, let's remember those words of Paul. Let's be living our lives for Jesus Christ. Not just focused on what we do on this earth, but remembering that our home is in heaven. That's where we're going to spend most of our days, not here. And so as we go through trials and tough times, we need to remember that Jesus is always with us. We're connected to him as Christians. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He's going to keep that connection strong. And we're living not for this earth, but we're living for a future home in heaven, an eternity with Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that, and I thought about new things, actually my mind went to this scripture first. We're going to look at Revelations, if you want to turn there. We're going to finish with Revelations 21, verses 1 to 5. Paul said, to set your mind on things above. I think this kind of describes that a little bit in Revelation. So if you have that, Matt, go ahead and read that.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
As I thought of the new year, new beginnings, and new things, it took me to this scripture. And I see that there are four things that stuck out to me that God is saying specifically that he's making new for us. In verse 5, he says, I make all things new. So I think he's going to have surprises for us that we can't imagine when we get to heaven. I think it's going to be awesome beyond what we can believe. And I think my best description I think I have of heaven would be in C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia. Do you remember his description of heaven? Simply, I think they get to the end, their end home, which is heaven, and they go further in and further up. And each layer they get is 10 times better than the worst, or 10 times better than the previous one. And they keep going in, it keeps getting better and better. How else can we understand heaven? It gets so awesome, we just can't, our minds can't wrap around how good it's going to be and how joyful it's going to be there. But we do know that God's preparing an awesome place for us. And the four specific things I see, verse 1, it says that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Again, we're not going to get into a theological discussion here. There's a lot of different ideas of what's happening because of other scriptures. But God is making something new. He's preparing a new earth for us to live on. Whether he's refurbishing this one or it's going to be completely new, it doesn't matter. What it matters is it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be totally different, I believe. We know there's going to be no sea. That's kind of hard to wrap my mind around, because what percent of the earth is covered with sea? I don't know. Who's our scholar? 70%? Someone tell me that? I didn't look that up. But a large part of the earth is covered with sea. Not going to be a sea anymore. So it's going to be different. I think the reason that God is doing this is because where we live now is tainted by sin. This is not the place that God created for us. That's why we have illnesses, sickness, disease. It's because of sin that's entered into his perfect creation. And so he's starting over because he needs to get rid of that sin. And that involves the heavens. There's demons around us. Satan has his minions, not earlier on the earth, but we know they're up in the air around us. And so when he's talking about the heavens, are we going to see the same stars? I don't know. I know in Revelation that we know a third of the stars are going to fall from the sky. A third of the earth's going to be burned. Peter kind of lets us think that the earth is going to be destroyed with fire, which makes sense because fire is a purifier, isn't it? But whatever happens, it doesn't matter, because God's going to make something new for us. Where there's no sin, it's going to be different than what we're used to. And so it's something we have to look forward to. It's probably going to be the closest we would have had in this earth would have been Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And I think that was pretty awesome too. We have an account of that in Scripture, but it's hard to wrap our minds probably around how awesome it would have been to live in there. The second thing I see is in verse 2, it talks about a new city. It's a holy city, it says, but it's called the New Jerusalem. And this is what I would say is a place we're going to reside in heaven. And if we look elsewhere in Revelation, it gives the dimensions of this new Jerusalem. It says it's 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles wide, long, and high. So it's going to be a cube, is what Scripture tells us. And I hope if you don't like heights, you don't get a top floor room on the edge. That might not be too good, but it's hard to imagine a city like that, isn't it? Things are going to be totally different, and they're going to be more awesome than what we can even imagine, what would be probably even possible for us to create here. Only God can do it. So we have a new city to look forward to. Verse 3. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. I think we're going to have a new relationship with God. How do we connect with God now? Through the Holy Spirit, basically. It's how we pray. We can't come into God's presence at this point because we're not in heaven. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's going to be pretty awesome. He's going to be walking amongst us. You can actually probably just say, God, I have a question. We'll probably be more interested in just worshiping at his feet when we come into his presence. It's beyond what we can imagine. But we're going to have a more personal relationship. It's going to be different than what it is now. It's going to be better. We're also going to have in verse 4, this is the part that many of us are going to really enjoy, I believe. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to have a new body. No pain, no aches. No headaches, no migraines. Isn't that going to be awesome? That's what God has in store for us. Not going to be sick anymore. No colds. No scratchy throats. No cancer. No diseases. It's a body that's not going to die. Right now, at my age, my body is probably going this way. I mean, it's dying already, basically. It's not going to happen with our new bodies. It's never going to happen. It's unbelievable. It's hard for us to imagine. But this is what God is preparing for us because of his great love for us. And then verse 5 tops it off with what I said before, I'm making everything new. We can't begin to understand what God has in store for us. But we can meditate on it, and we can look forward to the awesome future he has for us. And it was important for God to have us understand this and what he's saying. And I believe it was important to him because he wants us to be looking forward to that time in our life when we can spend eternity with him. But he says to John, write it down. Make sure you get this right. I want my people to know this, is what he's telling John in verse 5. Richard Baxter, going back to him again, was so moved by what he learned by just meditating on heaven that after he recovered from his sickness, it says that he would spend half an hour a day meditating on heaven and thinking about what God had in store for him. And he also was getting his congregation to do the same thing. Half hour a day just focusing on heaven. And I think that's what Paul's asking us to do in the scripture in Colossians. Take time this new year to meditate on what God has planned for your life in the future. What God is preparing for you. We catch a glimpse of that in Paul in the Philippian scripture that was read. You know, Paul was torn. He so much wanted to be with his Heavenly Father because he knew how awesome it was going to be. But he knew he couldn't leave because God had things for him to do here on earth. And he was torn because of that. So set your mind this new year on things above. Set your mind on heaven. Set your mind on what God is preparing for you. Set your mind on how much God loves you. And I think being secure in our future, we need to be secure in our future and what God has planned for us so we can do the work that he has for us to do here in this earth. Paul wasn't worried about being stoned to death. Paul wasn't worried about being thrown into jail. Paul wasn't worried about taking lashes on his back. Not that it was pleasant, but he knew what God had in mind for him, and he knew that he had a job to do in this earth. And because he was secure in his future, he could minister the way God wanted him to in this earth. And so, have the courage to do what God is asking you to do this new year. Whether it's going to visit someone, getting out of your comfort zone, going to share the gospel with a coworker, or whatever. Because you're secure in where you're going. Nothing they say or nothing they can do is going to make any difference. Because your future is already planned for you by a Heavenly Father that loves you very much. We're going to close. You can stand and singing a song.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. now is your fault. Still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so good.
This week, as I thought about how much God loves me, how much He loves you, and what He gave up to come here because of that love, what would I be willing to give up if He asked me to give it up because of my great love for someone else? And so as we approach the new year, spend time with the Lord. Ask Him to give you guidance and direction. Connect yourself with Jesus in ways you haven't before. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence this morning. Without You, we are nothing. So we thank You for being willing to come here and connect with us and to teach us and to mold us and to shape us into the people You want us to be. And so we want that connection to grow even stronger as individuals, as a body here at New Beginnings. And so we just ask You, Father, to come into our hearts again and come in and work new ways, new wonders in our lives and use us in ways You haven't used us before. We look forward to another year, Father, another year that we can spend with You here in this earth. We look forward to being with You for all eternity, but You have a reason for us to being here, Father. Help us to connect with that reason. Use us, we ask, in Your name. Amen.